Hey there, running friends. It's James here again, and I'm back with another one of my daily running podcasts. I want to talk today a little bit about something which quite often gets overlooked. So a lot of the time, us runners, we talk about stretching, we talk about mobility, we talk about the importance of perhaps particularly towards the end of our runs, you know, towards the end of our sessions when we finish, we want to make sure that we make time for a good post-run cool down and stretch, etc., as well as obviously warming up appropriately with dynamic warm-ups, dynamic mobility work, and really start to emphasize the importance in many cases for us runners to spend a bit of time focused on the sort of session, the sort of exercises, the sort of stretches, the sort of bits of mobility work which help promote range of motion. But what happens when you're a runner who perhaps doesn't struggle for range of motion? In fact, if anything, you have too much of a good thing. You have too much mobility, too much range of motion around key joints, and start to fall closer down into the kind of the hypermobility scale. And hypermobility is something that's measured and described on a scale. There is a battery of tests. So the Beighton scale, which again, you can look up and have a look at in terms of trying to quantify to what degree you might be hypermobile. If you feel like, again, you might be on that kind of end of the scale. But for a lot of us runners, we talk about the fact that we need to avoid the tendency, perhaps if left unchecked, of getting particularly stiff around certain areas, so particularly stiff around the hips, around the ankles, as well as other areas, of course, around the body. But there are plenty of runners out there for whom, in fact, range of motion isn't a challenge, and the challenge is control of that range of motion. So whether or not you're clinically hypermobile, which again, as I said, is described on a bit of a continuum, a bit of a scale, or you recognize that you're just generally very flexible, you know, you identify yourself as perhaps being very, you know, compared to other runners, other athletes, other friends of yours, you are very bendy in general terms, then perhaps you might not be in the kind of subset of runners who need to spend a lot of time stretching. And in fact, as per the majority of our hypermobile runners, or runners again who don't want for range of motion, in fact, you have lots of range, you have lots of flexibility, your focus needs to be on controlling that range of motion, controlling that flexibility. Okay, so if we've got someone who does sit on the hypermobile scale, or even not even that specifically on the hypermobility scale, but more so, you know, you are particularly flexible, then for you, the focus should be on controlling the range of motion you have and emphasizing strength work and stability work. Okay, that I can't emphasize strongly enough. And Holly, my other half, is a great example of that. She's a dancer, and she's almost kind of the polar opposite to me. So for those of you who haven't met me, perhaps you only come across the podcast and you've heard my voice, you haven't seen me online, etc. I am now the slimline version of my previous self. My previous self being a rugby player. I'm 6'6". I don't look like, in inverted commas, the running guy. But I do feel like I am a good example of, again, we see this a lot in kind of male runners, not to particularly put things down to a male-female kind of difference. But a lot of us guys, we do tend to feel that, in fact, if left unchecked, we do get quite stiff through certain areas. Whereas Holly, she's got a lot of range of motion and she actively works on her flexibility. She actively works on trying to get better in her splits, for example. Again, various different versions of her splits. So whether we're talking about box splits, whether we're talking about middle splits, whatever we're talking about, she's actively trying to improve her hip range. Whereas when you look at her doing single leg exercises and look at her running, there's actually an argument that once you see her dynamically loading on one leg, I'm sure she won't mind me saying, there is a little bit to be done in terms of improving stability. And again, mobility and stability work so hand in hand. If you've got a lot of mobility, it asks more questions of the stability available around the joint to which you have all that mobility. There's no point in having one without having the other. You have to have the stability to control the available motion. So if you do know that you have a tendency to be quite flexible, you must work on the control of all that range of motion you have. So one thing that I find very interesting is that when we look at hypermobile runners, especially those who fall, you know, closer down the kind of the clinically hypermobile spectrum. So those who really are very, very flexible. Those are also quite often the runners who are fantastic at cheating when it comes to exercises. What I mean by cheating, specifically talking about finding movement patterns, finding patterns engagement-wise, if we're looking at what muscles they're using to actually, you know, specifically achieve certain movements, they find a way of getting certain tasks, certain movements done using muscle groups, using muscles, particularly, again, when we're talking about stabilizing muscles around key joints, that perhaps you wouldn't expect. So when it comes to, from my perspective, from a coaching point of view, from a rehab point of view, if I know I've got someone who is quite hypermobile, I have to be really, really on it in terms of keeping an eye on their technique and making sure they're not finding a way of getting through a desired movement of an exercise through using the kind of the wrong muscle groups or moving through the wrong areas, where ideally we'd want to see them working very specifically through the right areas, if that makes sense. So yeah, it's just one to be very aware of. If you are a coach, if you are someone who is working through the, you know, a runner's exercise routines, etc., etc. So what I really wanted to get across with this podcast is that if you do identify yourself as being quite flexible, okay, it means that perhaps you don't need to work quite so much on the flexibility side of things and the mobility side of things as the next runner next to you might do. But if that is the case, you should really prioritize the strength side of things, the stability side of things, and learn to control all that range of motion that you do have. Okay, anyway, I hope that helps. I hope that's some food for thought for some of us who, again, are quite bendy. And I'll be back tomorrow with another one of these podcasts. Now, if you are enjoying this set of daily running podcasts, then do take the time to head over to the iTunes store, leave a review, leave a rating. I'd love to know what's on your mind. It would help me out more than you could possibly know. I'd be very, very grateful. And yeah, as I said, I'll be back tomorrow for another one of these podcasts. So I'll speak to you then. Bye now.